guy.
Well, there is a bit of excitement pervading the studio this morning, certainly. How many years is it since we sat cheek by jowl doing a show together?
I don't know, Max. It seems only yesterday when I said, and now here's Max. And I find as I go through my broadcasting career, my latter years of my broadcasting career, I'm inclined to say repeatedly, if I come up against something, I don't know what to say. I just instinctively, and now here's Max.
Well, you learn well and you retain well.
I do indeed.
We're going to fit in as much Christmas music.
Let me tell you, it's very nice to be here with you again. By the way, it's the first time in how many years, I wonder. Let's not name the years.
No. That's the way to look at it, Alan.
Yeah.
We're going to...
Because the years do pile up, so...
Yeah, indeed they do, in a great lump, in a disorderly heap.
And it has been always such a pleasure to work with you, and of course it's never been work, but I mean to be associated with you. And here we are on this Christmas Day, 1983, and it's great to start this new series with you. And what headlines are you going to look at this morning, Max, on this...
We'll thrash this out while this music is playing. I've got a few little words of explanation to say to Alan.
Before the skit,
you'll remember this group, Alan.
I will.
It's now being called the Depor Chorus, but surely you'll remember when they first appeared after World War II, they were in the same U.S. regiment, and they stayed together as a choir after the war. The Depor Infantry Chorus. You must remember that.
No.
Oh. So much for that, then. But here they are to launch our program, A Fine Melody... A traditional black spiritual, the lyrics are pure folk poetry, and the third great quality is the choir itself. A nice, bright way to open our Christmas Day program with the Depor Chorus and Round the Glory Manger.
They turn away, Mary and Joseph, away from the inn. They turn away, Mary and Joseph, away from the inn. They turn away, Mary and Joseph, away from the inn. And that's what made the glory manger. And a hallelujah, and a hallelujah, Lord. Wasn't that right at that morning, all round the glory manger?
They laid my risen Jesus down in straw. They laid my risen Jesus down in straw. They laid my risen Jesus down. And that's the
great
glory manger.
And a hallelujah, Lord. Wasn't that bright that morning all round the glory manger? And all his pretty little fingers played in the straw. And all his pretty little fingers played in the straw. And all his pretty little fingers played in the straw. And that's what made the glory manger. And a hallelujah, and a hallelujah, Lord. Was there a bright that morning all round the glory manger? And a hallelujah, and a hallelujah, Lord.
Round the Glory Manger, and the choir there, the Depor Chorus.
I remember them. I remember when you used to play them. My gosh, they're still just as good as ever. In fact, that's the same old record, isn't it?
No, this is a new LP, Alan.
Oh.
I have pushed ahead a little since we last shared chairs in this studio. You must have... I've got a fair variety of music here, and I'm sure I must have your all-time favorite. You must have an all-time favorite Christmas carol. Let's just see if it's in the lineup.
All right, as we go
because
along...
Because you have an eclectic taste. It won't be a
I have a very eclectic, yes. As we go along, we'll sort of play a game, and when it comes up, I'll shout it.
Yes.
All right.
I think it is lying ahead in the show, as a matter of fact. Because I remember you once saying that you liked this perverted little cynical piece of music that I threw it in here this morning.
It wouldn't be good King Wenceslas, would it?
No, that's kind of in the chestnut category. I try to get away from that.
Well, no, that was when sort of when the snow was round and even... I think you got some faggots and brought them in and put them on the fire, that sort of thing.
That's right. That's right.
That's one of my favorites.
Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas.
The medieval sadist.
Yes.
Here is the greatest choir I have heard, certainly in Canada. I know you'll remember this one. It's an incredible teenage choir from a little place in Gretna, Manitoba. The high school out there, the Mennonite Collegiate Institute of Gretna, has a student body of 200 souls.
Mm-hmm.
From that small nucleus,
mm-hmm.
they picked a 90-voice choir. Listen to the quality of this choir as they sing, "Let all ye sons and daughters sing."
Mennonites are always awfully good at everything they do.
That was the Mennonite Collegiate Choir of Gretna, Manitoba. And as I say, I don't think I've heard another choir, certainly in North America, in that age group to touch them. And they'd hold their own with any choir I've heard anywhere in the world.
They're awfully, awfully good. Mitch Miller, I remember, always had an awfully good choir, too. But I guess that was a different suasion, certainly. I liked Mitch. I liked his beard and so on. But that choir you speak of, I hadn't heard them before, and they are extraordinary.
Well, Mitch's forte was in the esoteric choice of music, things that you didn't hear that often, such as White Christmas or
that's
some
right.
Mummy Kissing Santa Claus.
Oh,
he had a
yeah.
great taste.
That real music. Christmas music. I love that real Christmas
By
music.
Jove, Alan.
Yes?
My eyes have just glanced down at my titles here, and mm-hmm. guess what's coming up? Here is Alan's, I think, one of his favorite pieces of Christmas music.
I'm easily pleased, by the way. What is this one?
This is a selection called Christmas. Oh, no, this isn't your favorite music. I'm sorry, it's coming up a little later.
Sake.
I think you did like this one, but it's not the one that I'm thinking of.
Sounds like old times.
It's Donald Swan of Flanders and Swan, and he sings a very cynical little piece of music about the fripperies of Christmas, the theme of taking away from the original meaning. But he has some lovely lines about girls in slacks remembering mum and oafish louts remembering dad, ghastly ties and what have you. An unusual composition by Donald Swan called simply Christmas.
The bells of waiting Advent ring, the tortoise stove is lit again, and lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain. In many a stained glass window sheen, from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. In the windy hedge and round the manor house, the yew will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar font and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say the church looks nice on Christmas Day. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers, as hurrying clerks the city leave, the pigeon haunted classic towers and marbled clouds go scudding by the many steeple, the London sky. And girls in slacks remember dad, and oafish louts remember mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells are saying, come. Even the shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? expensive scent and hideous tie so kindly bent. No love that in a fabric dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare. That God was mad in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine, in bread and wine.
That was the voice of Donald Swann of the famous team of Flanders and Swann singing. Actually, he did not write that composition. It was a man named Sidney Carter, the same man that wrote Lord of the Dance and other...
Marvelous singing, yeah. I know London fairly well. Where is Hooker's Green, do you know?
That was the only mistake in the whole song, because as far as I know, Hooker's Green, certainly that's what we always call the CBC front lawn here on Charles Street. I don't know why he misplaced that in London, England, but apart from that, you enjoyed that.
No, I did very much.
Is the music to your liking, Alan? Because speak out.
Max, so far, I think it's just going swimmingly. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I'm just so glad that I was invited here on this day of days, and I just want you to know what a great reunion it is in my heart. My heart is just swelling.
I did notice...
And beating in my throat. Do you see the pulse in my throat?
That's an Adam's apple, but I did notice your eyes... A little bit moist. I didn't know whether it was the cold sub-zero weather this Christmas morning or whether it was emotion.
Please don't mention that, Max. I mean, you shouldn't let a chap of his old thoughts in you.
Well,
the eyes are a little moist. Maybe they are. Maybe it's just a roominess that's set in rather than true tears.
Well,
Max, I've said it before. In the old days, I used to. What's your next piece?
Well, that's strange. Strange you should ask, Alan, because we do have another record coming up.
Another piece? Funny coincidence. I'm so glad.
First-rate brass. How many times, Alan, over the centuries did
100.
I harp on that theme of my earliest Christmas, fondest Christmas memories were always a few courageous Salvation Army people out under a lamppost and the snow pouring down and the bitter cold, apparently not distorting the sound they're able to produce, and that great music. Well, not only... We have three, but this time about 30 times that number, because this is the Canadian Staff Band of the Salvation Army. First-rate musicianship in this band. And as an additional bonus, we have 500 voices. That's the Salvation Army Festival Chorus. They came in from Citadel's Salvation Army posts all over Ontario. And it was recorded at Massey Hall. As a matter of fact, one of our CBC men here, Ted Marshall, or Ed Marshall, either one, was responsible for the recording. And I think you're going to enjoy this piece of music. Again, it's very rarely heard, but it's a lovely, bright piece of Christmas music called Joyous Carry-On.
Thank you.
The audience in Massey Hall of, what, 2 years ago, or 3 years, perhaps, applauding the Canadian Staff Band of the Salvation Army and the 500-voice festival chorus singing Joyous Carry On. Do you know that I'm fighting the urge this Christmas morning not to be selfish, because it's so long since we worked together, Alan, that I've just a compulsion to ask how things are going, what you're doing these days. It's not the time or place, but I would like to find out one. Are you still spattering eggs off the windshields of cars that park in front of your house and annoy you?
No, Max. I think that was an apocryphal story. Someone made it up at one time. No, I don't think so.
One of the worst things, putting sugar in a gas tank, one of the worst things, because it freezes, and it's the worst thing to scrape off.
No, Max. No sugar in gas tanks. No. This is the time to be jolly and happy. Nothing like that has happened.
Cars are safe on Christmas Day.
All cars are safe as far as I'm concerned, and little children, too. And old ladies crossing streets are reasonably safe. They don't get too close to the curb.
We're getting away from our Christmas spirit.
Yes, we are. Indeed. No, we're not. No, I'll tell you, of all the things, the Christmas spirit, the Salvation Army represents it, because they work so selflessly. I think they're a magnificent organization.
Yeah.
Just a...
You told me once, I could never separate the apocryphal from the real, but you told me once that you played in the Salvation. Remember
did
or did
not.
I dream that?
You dreamed that. One of your many dreams. The only thing I could play would be a kazoo, and I don't think there's a kazoo in the Salvation Army band.
Here's the Winnipeg Mennonite Children's Choir.
Now they're good. You see, Mennonites are always good.
They are incredible.
They're just so dedicated always.
About three numbers back, I played the high school youngsters from Gretna, Manitoba, the Mennonite High School. These are the Winnipeg Mennonite Children's Choir. Helen Litz is the lady who founded this choir. She took these youngsters from various Sunday schools around Winnipeg. Listen to this by way of Laurels One. They went over to the Welsh International Steadfort in Winnipeg, and they also went down to England to the English counterpart of that, the big song festival in England. They placed first, second, and third. This was between 1967 and 1970. The money they earned, the prize money, they turned over to the Aberfan, that terrible landslide disaster, and they turned it over to the Aberfan Relief Fund.
Isn't that typical?
Here they are, these youngsters, just a perfect choir to sing the Carol of the Bells.
Thank you.
That is the Mennonite Children's Choir of Winnipeg and Carol of the Bells. Such a short little tut in such a fine choir, they're going to give them an encore. This is the Calypso Carol, The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. Was the Calypso Carol, The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy, sung by the Winnipeg Mennonite Children's Choir. I hope this music is meeting with your approval, Alan. I didn't check.
Well, it isn't meeting with my approval. It certainly is. It's just that vast audience that you have out there, Max, it counts, and I'm certain that it will certainly meet with their approval because it's so Christmassy. It's so darn Christmassy, and I think I've always felt this in my broadcasting career, that Christmas music should be played at Christmas time.
Rather than Easter, the way
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Darn good
Valentine's observation. Day, I feel, is out. But Christmas, you're playing Christmas music at Christmas time, and I think it's absolutely splendid of you. And the old ways die hard.
That irrefutable logic that always poured out of you, Alan,
yes,
hasn't diminished one bit. That's a darn good observation on this Christmas
Thank
morning.
You very much.
Oh, we'll
Max,
move on,
so
however.
Good to be back. Do you mind if I put my head in your shoulder? Will you just go along here?
Incidentally, this
yes.
man...
What, to put my
now, this is the kind of guy he just made my Christmas. Better than any tangible Christmas gift I've received. Alan turned to me while that music was playing and said, "Your hands are shaking a lot less than I remember." I never thought my hands shook.
I didn't. Oh, you shouldn't tell stories like that.
No, hands have been as steady as a rock.
Your hands are steady as a rock now. But you used to always remember you. We'd work together and we'd comment on it. Different producers and so on would say, "Is he all right? My God, he's shaking all over. His hands are shaking." And I'd say, "Sure, that's logical." I've never told you this, Max, but actually your nickname is the Gandhi Dancer. When you start in the studio, I'm sorry, these things are coming out. This is going to be a long program. Suddenly you're going to hear a... and my voice is just going to go.
I think we should get in a bit of music here because it's going to be performed by a real old friend of yours, Alan. This really
well, it's such a pleasure talking to you, though, Max. Yeah. You had very few opportunities
well,
in the
we
air.
We have a warm tea after the show and get caught up on our news. But guess who's,
Bicky.
Yeah, yeah. Guess who's on deck?
Okay.
Ivan Rebrov. Do you remember that name?
Oh, God.
I thought that would be
not
crazy.
Again.
Well, now...
not Ivan Rebrov
let
again.
Let me say this about Ivan.
Oh, he's a bass, we know, and
he's a contrabass.
He's a contrabass?
Yeah.
Oh, that in operation.
Also, he's also a countertenor.
Yeah.
But the reason I picked him for this selection is
yes.
he doesn't fool around. He's singing. He has a good voice if he just keeps out of those ridiculous theatrical flights up at the... countertenor range.
Well, that's always been my feeling. That's why I've never liked him. Well, it's going in the air. Go
ahead. But he's appearing with these fine little boy sopranos, the Regensburger Domspatzen. They've become a household word, I'm sure, with you, Alan. They're the little cathedral sparrows of Regensburg in
what,
Germany.
What, he sings with sparrows, you mean?
He sings with sparrows.
I heard him say.
Drops a little
to train sparrows, are they?
Bread for them and bits of quick line to keep them from changing their places in the choir.
I see.
But he sings with them this fine old German carol, and you can translate it for us, I'm sure. Sicher die Glocken nie klingen als zu der Weihnachtszeit.
Be sure the clock is wound before you hit the sack, is what it really
very, very close. Mm-hmm. Very close, or if you don't mind me nitpicking a little bit, a tiny change that. Sweetly sing the bells all through Christmas Eve.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That was Ivan Rebroff behaving himself. No pyrotechnics there. Just a good, solid bass voice. And singing with the Regensburger Domspatzen, the little sparrows, nuthatches of Regensburg Cathedral. Sicher die Glocken nie klingen. Don't forget to wind the clock, as Alan said. I mentioned a few minutes ago one of my most memorable auditory Recollections of Christmas, the Salvation Army playing out under the streetlights in London, Ontario, the snow falling. But I think one of the most visual remembrances that imbues me with the Christmas spirit was the sight of the Christmas lights on Alan's own home here in Toronto. Even though it was a very hot evening in, I think, early July, I drove by, couldn't believe my eyes, these lights clinging to the rotting bricks of the sand dribbling out between the mortar, dribbling out. It was quite a post-festive season.
Well, sight. You see, Max, my feeling is that Christmas comes once a year, and I think that...
It's another good observation, because it does, when you stop and think of it, it does.
Yeah, well, I just stopped and thought of it, and I thought, why should it be just once a year? Why not all year round? I know, I can tell you quite honestly, I have Christmas in my heart all year round. That is why my decorations are always left up. Really, I mean that. Do you understand now? It may seem an odd thing. So many people drop in, knock on my door, and I give them tea and cookies, crumpets and things like that at the door. I don't allow them within. They ask me, why those strange lights? Are they not Christmas lights? And I say, yes, and you are welcome, and Merry Christmas. And they say, but this is not Christmas. And I say, be merry anyway. Now do you see?
I am beginning to see.
You're beginning to see the light, the Christmas
beginning
light.
Beginning to see the light.
Uh-huh. Well, that's about it, Max.
That's a nice thought to introduce our next
I think it's awfully charming. I thought of it myself, and I just did it. There's so many, in spite of working together for so many, many years, there's so many facets of my character that you still don't know about.
I was just listening to your voice. I haven't heard your voice since we worked together. We really
you haven't? What do you mean? You never miss one of my programs.
But I'm just struck by the resemblance to Brian Mulroney in that voice.
Brian Mulroney.
Put your jaw out about another 6 inches.
Another 6 inches and
talk about it. No, you're losing it there. But just your natural voice sounds quite a bit like...
I don't think so. It's my natural voice is simply a beautifully trained CBC announcer's voice, that's all. Connection with Brian.
Certainly one of the finest diaphragms in the CBC.
Yes, I've got a well-developed
diaphragm. Always said that about Alan. He's just the greatest diaphragm.
Well, you simply can't speak properly or sing properly if you don't have a well-developed diaphragm, Max.
That's
no question about that. I've got a beauty in there.
You certainly have.
Yes. Where were we?
We're just getting ready
for our next piece.
This Spanish carol. This is a group called the International Chorale, and the whole LP is devoted to Spanish Christmas carols. And I rather
That's logical, yeah.
I rather like this one, and feel free to translate if you'd like. Okay. Madre a la puerta este un niño. Now, I didn't elide there. You're supposed to drop those vowel sounds that are coming. Madre.
Madre. Mother's gone to the party.
Madre a la puerta.
And she's not gone with Nina.
That's very close again, Alan. Actually, it's mother a la puerta at
That's
the
right.
door está un niño.
That's right.
At the door is the Christ child. But you were very close,
oh,
Alan.
Yes.
I'll give you a consolation prize on that.
Madre la puerta está un niño, más hermosa que sorbeño, que dice que tiene frío y quiere sentarse al fuego. Pues dile que entre, se calentará, porque en esta tierra aún hay caridad. El niño está tiritando, titiritando de frío, y dice que los gitanos se quitaron el abrigo. Pues dile que entre, se calentará, porque en esta tierra aún hay caridad.
They're very short, those Spanish Christmas carols. They quite often catch one unawares when they end.
Well, they're short, and I think they're so meaningful, Max, that one gets sort of wrapped up in them, don't you? And one is inclined to, after the exit line, to sort of drift and dream with the song itself and take in the meaning of the thing.
Yes, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah. I just glanced down at my list of titles, and I suddenly realized, Alan, we've come to your favorite piece of Christmas music.
What's
you may not remember
piece?
This, but it just embodied all that you hold dear about Christmas. It's a little piece of music written, again, by Sidney Carter. We played his other selection earlier, Christmas, the man who wrote Lord of the Dance. He wrote this song called Standing in the Rain. It's the most evocative piece of music. Yeah, here he goes. A little huddling group of impoverished people standing in the rain on Christmas Day. As if that isn't depressing enough, they're rapping on the window to get shelter and food, and the smug, well-to-do inhabitants are sleeping in their beds. They bellow down to literally bust off.
Yeah.
We're Christian men and women, and we're keeping what we've got. Kind of a smug put-down of that particular type of Christian.
It's an awful sight to see the poor little faces pressed against the panes of wet glass, isn't it? And yet there's something I don't enjoy about it, in a sense. They know their places without the pain rather than within the pain. So there is a certain justice there, perhaps a certain melancholy justice, but still a justice. And I think, after all, without justice in the world, we have very little hope of survival. So perhaps you've hit on quite a chord there, and these little rats standing out there represent it beautifully.
The singers here, an English group called the Crown Folk, and the soloist is Peter Smith. And here is this little description of these, as Alan says, little rats, drowned rats standing in the rain, trying to get shelter and getting utterly fobbed off by the well-to-do, standing in the rain.
Much too good for them.
No use knocking on the window, there is nothing we can do, sir. All the beds are booked already, there is nothing left for you, sir. Standing in the rain, knocking on the window, knocking on the window on a Christmas day.
There he is again, knocking on the window, knocking on the window in the same old way.
No use knocking on the window, some are lucky, some are not, sir. We are Christian men and women, but we're keeping what we've got, sir. Standing in the rain, knocking on the window, knocking on the window on a Christmas day.
There he is again, knocking on the window, knocking on the window in the same old way.
No, we haven't got a manger, no, we haven't got a stable. We are Christian men and women, always willing, never able. Standing in the rain, knocking on the window, knocking on the window on a Christmas day.
There he is again, knocking on the window, knocking on the window in the same old way.
Jesus Christ has gone to heaven, one day he'll be coming back, sir. In this house he will be welcome, but we hope he won't be black, sir. Standing in the rain, knocking on the window, knocking on the window on a Christmas day.
There he is again, knocking on the window, knocking on the window in the same old way.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas, we will now go back to bed, sir. Till you woke us with your knocking, we were sleeping like the dead, sir. Standing in the rain, knocking on the window, knocking on the window on a Christmas day.
There he is again, knocking on the window, knocking on the window in the same old way.
Even the little knocking on the window there.
That was a little Woody Woodpecker, wasn't it?
Yes, Standing in the Rain. Sidney Carter wrote that, and the Crown folks sang it. And I hope people out there are enjoying it all through that. I had to listen to a discussion here of root canals. Somehow that doesn't go with Christmas, Alan.
It certainly doesn't, and yet it's surprising. I was talking to a dentist just the other day, and he said it's just absolutely amazing how many people develop... It's a dreadful thing to put out. It'll be psychosomatic with a lot of people. Dental troubles at Christmas. And
oh, is that right?
Have to come flying in, yeah.
Why would that be, I wonder?
I have absolutely no idea. They have a sweet tooth or something like that, and they want to get away from the Christmas festivities. I have no idea. But apparently there are a lot of root canal jobs and teeth to be pulled and kept for next Christmas and things like that. Dried out teeth.
That's a nice thought for Christmas.
Yeah,
morning.
It is kind of.
I hadn't thought of that. It's probably will become as much a symbol of Christmas as holly and ivy and carols, root canals. So our fondest Christmas wish for you across Canada on this Christmas morning is just check the old molars out and make sure you're not in need of a root canal.
Oh, don't say that.
Had one done about 2 months ago. A piece of cake.
Oh, a
everybody
piece of cake.
Talks about root canals. Just a.
Oh, what heroism. Now, look. Oh, well, never mind. I'll tell you
no,
what.
It's over.
There's a conspiracy of silence in regard to root canal work because people that have had it done just don't talk about it. Or else people have had it done. Some of them just fake it and say, oh, there's nothing to it.
Before we move on to Alan's housemaid knee, let's try to slide a little bit of music here. Here are the pupils of St. Paul's School in London.
That's what you can say, the pupils of my eyes.
The pupils of
yellow
Alan's
eyes.
Eyes lift their voices now. And say, no, this is a BBC recording, and it's part of the BBC school broadcast department. They got these fine little voices in from St. Paul's School in London, England.
Well, they do train them so well at St. Paul's School, Max. And
yeah.
Also, the BBC doesn't put anything on that isn't just first rate. I've always felt that.
And because
so
they teach them to sing properly,
I was
Alan,
trying to get a word in.
Because they
and
teach them to sing properly.
I was just going to say that.
These kids rarely have root canal jobs done. They're singing properly, using all the
antrums,
the mouth structure.
Is that so?
The antrum is kept open throughout, and rarely do they need.
And the sphenoid, that hadn't occurred to me. I thought that was more of a head job.
Can we just have a dramatic pause, a caesural pause here before I say the title? It's kind of an abrupt transition.
From what to what?
To the title of this next piece of Christmas music.
Well, if you wish, you mean a dramatic pause.
Yeah.
All right. How long?
See him lying on a bed of straw.
Who?
See him lying on a bed of straw, a draughty stable with an open door. Mary cradled in the babe she bore, the Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory.
A calypso carol, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw, sung by the pupils of St. Paul's School in London. I'm going to turn back again to the Salvation Army band.
Oh, that's a great
enjoy
time.
This music. Plus the 500 Voice Festival Chorus, and one of the brightest, merriest of all the Christmas melodies, Ding Dong, Merrily on High.
Oh,
Again, an appreciative audience at Massey Hall greeting that offering by the Canadian Staff Band of the Salvation Army, the 500 Voice Festival Chorus, Ding Dong, Merrily on High. I just about stopped your heart, apparently, when I was introducing that, Alan. I'm sorry. I paused in strange places when I said, Ding Dong, Merrily on High. And, of course, Alan was expecting to hear The Witch is Dead.
The Witch is Dead.
Yeah,
I really
I'm
thought
sorry.
You were going to say that, and I
that
thought,
is one of your favorite tunes, too.
But it certainly is, and also The Wizard of Oz I like so much because it's such a nice story about the girl flying off on the broomstick and so on.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what on earth has Halloween got to do with Christmas? And I said, well, young Max wouldn't make a mistake like that. So, ding dong, and along it came, just right as rain as it always did. All the years I've been working with you, I've been frightened many times. You do a start to do a lead-in, and I think, oh, this is the finish of the program. And then adroitly, you would leap right out of the thing and give the correct title, and the thing would be just as smooth as silk.
Yeah.
That's what I've always said about you, Max. You're just
you
as smooth as silk.
Among other things, you have said that about me.
Yes.
Alan.
Yes, ma'am.
You're not familiar with the format of this program. You're used to
no, I'm not.
The little half hour we used to do together. We're on for 2 hours these Sunday mornings and, of course, this morning. So if you wouldn't mind taking your galoshes off, this doesn't mean the end of the show. What we're doing now is coming up to news time.
No.
One of your close friends and buddies, I don't know who it will be, but I know how much you regard all your fellow announcers. He's standing by waiting to do the news, as is customary. And what we do is bring in a little bit of music just to take us up to. But you will stay for the second hour.
Absolutely, and I think that's a tremendous way of doing things, too, just to be talking along, as you said. You put it so succinctly, just to keep talking, and then a little bit of music, and then bang, go into the old news.
It's pacing.
Yes.
As the whole hour builds to that moment of the news.
Yes, well, that's what I meant, exactly, yes.
You try to get a feverish pitch of excitement built up with the audience out there, and then suddenly it's Christmas morning, sort of.
As a matter of fact, speaking of such things, I saw Lorne Green giving a speech at a service dinner just yesterday.
Did you?
And
really?
It was great to see him again. He looked so good, and he was so awfully, awfully good. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great if old Lorne came on the news right now?
He gave you an elixir of youth once. I remember you singing his praises. He told you something. Was it
an elixir of youth?
Grecian formula or something?
Grecian formula?
Wasn't it?
What?
Lorne Green, who told you about that.
Grecian
told
formula?
You to stay out of the rain with it, but it, yeah.
No. No.
Second debut of one of those. Boy, you forget so easily.
Oh, no.
However, let's try to fit in our little bit of Christmas music to take us up to news time at the end of our first hour. Here are the Chieftains with the Christmas Reel.
Thank you. This is CBC Stereo. Good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Warren Davis, pleased that CBC is part of your holiday, and reminding you that the National Arts Center performance of Handel's Messiah is coming up in 1 hour, to be followed by Maureen Forrester and Young Singing Friends at Roy Thompson Hall. But first, the news and more of Max.
This is CBC Stereo, Toronto 94.1, Peterborough 103.9.
The Pope calls for an end to the arms race. I'm Stan Carew with the CBC News. The Pope celebrated a Christmas Mass in St. Peter's Basilica today before about 15,000 worshipers. Later, he delivered his annual address to the world. This year, his message was the urgent need to dispel the warlike clouds that are threatening humanity. In Rome, David Willey reports.
The Pope was applauded by tens of thousands of pilgrims and tourists, many from foreign countries, gathered in St. Peter's Square when he referred twice in his message to the enormous cost of the nuclear arms race. The Pope said that men and women are dying of hunger while enormous sums of money are being spent on weapons. Even a tiny part of the money spent on sophisticated means of destruction, he said, could alleviate the agony of starving children. This was Pope John Paul's sixth Christmas message, Urbi et Orbi, to the city of Rome and to the world since he was elected Pope. He spoke ominously about clouds gathering on the horizon of humanity, and he prayed for peoples whose fundamental rights, he said, are being trampled upon. The Pope ended his Christmas message with a few words in Polish for his fellow countrymen. He quoted a significant passage from the Bible in the book of Isaiah. Be strong, fear not, your God will come and save you. And then, of course, he ended with a performance of Christmas greetings in over 40 different languages, including English.
Blessed Christmas in the peace of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the world.
For CBC News, this is David Willey in Rome.
Premier Davis says that concerns about world peace are replacing economic worries among Canadians. In his Christmas message, Mr. Davis expresses the belief that most Canadians understand that it's sometimes necessary to stand up for what we believe in. He says Canadians recognize that their way of life is unique, and they also understand the price paid to maintain it. Mr. Davis stresses the importance of giving full support to other nations who share Canadian values and who are prepared to defend our freedom. The Harrods department store bombing in London has now killed 6 people. The latest victim, a 34-year-old police officer, died in hospital last night. Meanwhile, next to Harrods, police have parked a car identical to the one used by the bombers. Commander William Hucklesby explains why.
We now know that the man who bought the car used the name Mr. Black. So far, we've been unable to trace Mr. Black. He may have used that name, though, when he was driving in the car and shopping or buying other things. And somebody may relate Black to the vehicle, which we see here now, and then give us a positive lead in relation to Black's association with the vehicle.
Commander William Hucklesby of Scotland Yard. The U.S. Marine position in Beirut came under small arms fire today. The Marine commander said about 50 rounds were fired shortly after Bob Hope had left the base to return to the USS Guam off the coast. There were no casualties. The commander of the Italian contingent to the multinational force says his men are caught in an exchange between the Lebanese army and Shiite militiamen. The Lebanese army says that in the southern suburb of Beirut, rocket and artillery fire is being exchanged in the fiercest fighting ever experienced on Christmas Day. Tehran Radio reports that 16 people were executed at dawn today after being convicted of trafficking in drugs. The 16, who were executed in a town in central Iran, were said to have been setting up an international ring to supply and distribute narcotics, particularly heroin. However, the Tehran broadcast did not give details. The United States is threatening to withdraw from UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. The U.S. has until next week to give 1 year's notice. It now provides 25% of UNESCO's budget. American and other Western officials have long complained about UNESCO's stance on Israel, press freedom and other political issues. And that's the CBC News. This is CBC Radio. Here's the Canadian weather picture for British Columbia. Snow and wind in the south, sunny and windy elsewhere, highs minus 16 in the north to near zero on the south coast. For the Yukon, cloudy periods with highs minus 25 to minus 35. For Alberta, sunny to mainly cloudy with temperatures minus 5 to minus 15. For Saskatchewan, variable cloudiness with occasional flurries in the south, highs minus 17 to minus 20. Windy with light snow in the north, temperatures falling to minus 25. For Manitoba, partly cloudy in the south, mainly cloudy with occasional light snow in the north, temperatures from minus 17. In Ontario, windy and very cold with flurries, except snow squalls to the lee of the Great Lakes, cloudy with light snow in the north, temperatures minus 15 to minus 22. For Quebec, windy and very cold with isolated flurries, except snow, possibly heavy at times in the northeast, temperatures minus 13 to minus 18, except near minus 9 in the northeast. For the Maritime provinces, flurries and strong winds, very cold with temperatures minus 8 to minus 15. For Newfoundland, snow in the west, flurries in the east, highs minus 4 to minus 8 in the south, minus 8 to minus 12 in the north. And for Labrador, intermittent snow along the coast with highs to minus 13. And that's the Canadian weather outlook.
This is CBC Stereo. Toronto 94.1, Peterborough 103.9.
And now, here's part two of the Max Ferguson Show for this Christmas Day. Max, s'il vous plaît.
Thank you very much, Alan.
That's all right, Max. Always a pleasure to introduce you. Been so long, seems so long, I've been doing this sort of thing, and it's such a delight to just be able to bring you from coast to coast in Canada. And I know people are all agog right across the country. Now, they want to hear your voice, and I know how much they do, and I can understand it. Because that voice has been around a long, long time, and it's made some people awfully, awfully happy. And you brought happiness, and this day of happiness, you certainly spread cheer and what are you looking at me like that for?
I mean it. Enthralled the way that flows out.
Well, it's true. Gracious. You're a happy merchant. That's all.
Yes, the hands aren't shaking as much as anyway. That's the best line.
True.
That's the best line of the morning.
You've lost a terrible tremor you used to have.
Yes. Yeah. The head still nods a little bit though. drops forward if I don't watch it. Alan, we have some Christmas music too.
We do.
With which to open next hour.
What's it going to be, Max?
Well, in the first hour, we have the Canadian Staff Band of Salvation Army. Plus,
yeah, we all know that, Max.
Plus the chorus.
Second hour.
This is another LP with just the Canadian Staff Band instrumental music.
Uh-huh.
But everybody out there can sing along with this one because you all know it. One of the all-time old favorites of Christmas.
What's it called, Max?
Hark! The Herald Angels Sing.
My favorite.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, played by the Canadian Staff Band of the Salvation Army, and that opens this second hour of the program. Alan, you have very modestly not mentioned your own program, which demands a lot of your time, and you've given up that time to come and help me out today, but have you put together a lot of Christmas music in your well-loved coast-to-coast network program, Eclectic Circus?
Well, it's very nice of you to mention that at last, Max. Yes, there's a good supply of Christmas music in my own radio wit and that sort of thing, and the whole thing carries on very, very well, and it seems to be, there are kudos from all sides, and it's now been purchased by the public broadcasting system, and it's pretty well heard shortwave from not only all over Canada, but throughout the United States and worldwide. Not of course, the bottom of the globe, if you know what I mean. Not Australia. Not down that darn far. Antarctica. But, yeah, it could go up into the Antarctic, I think.
Are you joking, or has PBS really picked this up?
Oh, yeah.
In the States?
Yeah, they've had it for years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just wonderful, Mike.
Well, you look so shocked and so surprised.
Well, I...
Your speeches, why? Have you ever heard the program? Can you not understand them wanting the program and paying for it?
They paid for it, did they?
You're damn right they do. Sure.
It's all right, Al. Fine. Why not?
PBS?
Shotgun that song, too. I mean, it was darn nice of them to pick that up.
Merry Christmas, PBS. I'm very glad you mentioned the program, because it's not only... It's on the stereo network on Saturdays, of course, and then throughout the week it's on the other network.
Would you like to list off all the stations that carry it and the names of people that have written into you this past month?
I couldn't.
Lots of time.
No, we haven't got time. Their name is Legion. Goes on.
Mr. Legion really enjoyed the show.
Yes.
Here's Sherrod.
I do agree with you that it is a fine program, and it is sent. There is a message in my program always. You will never hear a discouraging word in my program. That is Eclectic Circus, and it comes on at 10 after midnight, weekdays.
And the skies are not cloudy all day, either.
No, and the buffalo don't roam around very much, either.
Here's
but it's
Gerard.
A darn good program, and I'm so glad you brought it up. Is there anything you'd like to know about it? I mean, a bit more. I can't give you the inside story of it, of course. John Dalton produces it, by the way, and that is an enormous thing, of course, to have John around. And he is an acolyte, too, and... I guess I'll just say, shucks, and we get by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gerard Barbeau is this young boy soprano. Yeah.
Isn't going to PBS, is it?
No, this show just is a kind of garden variety type, stays back home in Canada, where it belongs. I don't believe in toadying to the Americans, Alan. Buttering them up, trying to get... Gerard Barbeau...
I don't toady to Americans.
...has two fine
Christmas
melodies.
I admire Americans because they have such very good taste.
And in this unusually gifted young soprano...
The they picked up my
...we program. Hear a fine rendition
and
of...
They are our...
...Adeste
brothers.
Fidelis.
In fact, oh, I like
get
that.
Get it on fast, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh,
Adeste Fidelis, one of the oldest of the favorites of Christmas time, Come All Ye Faithful, sung by that most unusual boy soprano voice of Gerard Barbeau.
May I intrude for just a moment? That is, for what it's worth, my absolute favorite.
You didn't hear a note of it.
That, to me, is the epitome of Christmas. I certainly did.
I have.
Adeste Fidelis, I could sing it for you, note for note.
I have been given a thumbnail sketch of the whole CBC while that was being played, and the vitriol is still dripping out of my left earlobe where the diatribe entered.
That's because
you didn't hear him singing?
Max, I'll tell you. Do you want me to tell you why?
God will catch up with you.
I will tell you. No, wait. I will tell you why. Because the thing affects me so and brings tears to my eyes and a sniffle to my little flat nose. And I just simply, I literally can't listen to Adeste Fidelis all the way through because it brings back 1,001 crowding memories. One source. And I just... I must say that does get to me. That to me is the epitome of Christmas. Oh, come on, ye faithful.
Well, you remember the last word?
Yeah, I did. Too. Yeah.
Here's the Mennonite Collegiate Choir. We have them in our...
Mennonites are awfully good, Max. I told you that. Everything they do well.
Tremendous.
Some of my best friends.
Yeah, some of your best friends.
There.
Well, it's Ron worth... Certainly this choir is so unusually good that I won't apologize for playing them a second time.
Sounds like old times.
The Mennonite Collegiate Choir from Gretna, Manitoba, and an Italian carol, O Bambino.
That means baby.
Voice high school choir drawn from a student body of only 200. And I just find that incredible. And part of the success of that choir, of course, is that they paid attention to the prime requisite of a good choir, a bass.
A bass.
That takes all the other voices of the choir and just suffuses it into that nice sound. And they've got a good bass voice.
Oh, they have.
Was your voice that low in high school?
You mean like it is now, or...
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
No, when you were in high school.
Oh, God, when I was in kindergarten, I had a deep voice.
Did you?
Yeah. It was a prenatal accident, I think, or just shortly after birth.
Imagine that voice asking for more paste.
Yeah. Mother.
Well, of course, you were fairly advanced in kindergarten. Didn't you miss getting out a few years?
No, I...
12, 13 or so when you get into grade one?
No, I... Is it 12 or 13 in kindergarten? No, I was, I guess... No, I was 14.
14?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's time for your voice to be changing.
Yeah.
And other things to change around that time.
Yeah.
Life. Here are the girls of Mayfield School, Putney, which is a district of London,
mm-hmm.
and the boys of Westminster School, a BBC recording. They have a fine Christmas offering for us.
Mm-hmm.
They sing Jubilate Domino. You are destroying all Christmas music for me.
But don't tell the people about it, though.
In the privacy of my living room, I will take out selections like that any time of the year and enjoy those little voices. Sitting here with Alan McPhee...
I enjoyed the little voices. I think they're sweet little voices.
But the tambourine there, I hadn't thought of it, but he was insisting that it's a bad-tempered choir master. Instead of rapping their knuckles, he hits them on the head.
And
of course, once you said that and I heard that tambourine come in, it was very visual.
It sounded like John Dalton's breaking up in there because I think he had the same feeling. It just sounded like it, didn't it? Dot, 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 do, 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 oh. On they go with a little gasp of pain.
I had never thought of that until you nastily brought it out. I'll never be able to hear that and listen to it and enjoy it again.
Oh, no, the English school children are very, very tough, you know. They're brought up in a tough school. That's why they're... English people are so tough.
They get hit in the head of the tambourine.
Sure,
when
they do. I don't think it's a tambourine. I think it's a split stick. It hurts more. A hickory stick split. Boom, 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 boom. Jesus Christ is born today. Boom. Very unfair. Brings tears to their miserable little eyes, oh yeah. And that makes them sing all the better, Max, and that's what counts.
It's better than having to split their tongues, is it? They used to do that in the Victorian years.
Split their tongues?
Oh, yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Forked tongue, eh?
Yeah. Mm. Fagin did that to teach his little pickpockets how to swear.
Who's Fagin?
Who's Fagin?
I'm Fagin. I'm Fagin you now.
Oh, you've been Fagin ever since you joined the CBC. You're always Fagin, Al. Fagin this, Fagin that. The children's Mennonite Choir of Winnipeg. Now, these are
the
two
Mennonites
groups.
Are awfully good. They just are so good.
You belabored that point all through our
work. No, Max, I'm not belaboring. I'm simply saying that I admire Mennonites enormously.
Okay.
They know the way to live. They really do.
Here's the children's Mennonite Choir.
I can say within the confines of the CBC, I don't know all those, because they're such fine people. What are you going to play next, Max?
I'm trying to get this children's Mennonite Choir of Winnipeg on.
Well, it's your program. Go ahead. Holy smoke, I'm just sitting here, sitting in briefly.
They're all under 16, these youngsters, but...
Who are all under 16?
These Mennonite school children.
Oh, the ones you were talking about before.
Of Winnipeg, yeah. These aren't the ones who get hit in the head of the tambourine.
Oh.
You don't have to do that to these kids.
No.
But you'll hear some very young voices. They don't. Mm-hmm. They sound no more than about 5 or 6 in one of the verses.
Should be great.
The selection they sing in German is Kling Glocken. Now, you must know the English translation of that one.
Sure. Right? Kling to your clock.
Well, close enough.
Kling to the bells.
Thank you.
fine young voices of the Children's Mennonite Choir of Winnipeg singing Klingglocken, Ring Bells. Enoch Kent, he of the rough, tough-sounding Scottish voice with a group called The Exiles. He is now living in Toronto, of course. I don't know whether he's still recording, but I've clung to this record over the years. Alan, you've heard this many a time.
What's it called?
Well,
we were just getting there.
On the LP, yeah. A lot of protest songs, but he has one Christmas selection. But again, it's a little cynical. You may not like this, Alan, because you're so trusting with everyone in the world.
What's he crabbing about, particularly here?
About the commercialism of Christmas.
Oh, well.
And the title of the selection is Thank Christ for Christmas. Slight departure in the Christmas theme there, and that song called Thank Christ for Christmas, and it was sung by Enoch Kent. We have been discussing here, the two of us, while records have been playing, CBC, and the old days versus the present, and what have you. It's all right, Alan, I'm not going to say anything untoward. There have been a lot of instances in which we've compared the two eras, and it's a tendency to say that the old days were better, but you know, to be honest and fair, one thing I notice about Christmas around the CBC, there's very little drinking anymore. Do you remember the old days?
It was, oh,
bodies all over the
Now
home.
You are being serious, yep. Yes. It was really bacchanalian. It was just heavenly. I mean, it was just dreadful.
I was just going to say, it's kind of nice to see that dying out.
It is, yeah, because
I quite sensible agree. Ways of celebrating
Christmas.
There was a lot
of drinking going on. I could tell you about the... Well, anyway. Yeah, that is strange, isn't it?
So that's on the plus side.
Yeah, you bet it is.
Is a nonsense.
I don't like people that drink at Christmas or have a good time or anything.
No, you have 364 days of the year to drink, don't you?
That's right.
Here are the voices of Ottawa school children. Now, I know I played this last week, and this is pure selfishness, but I am just so impressed with this choir of grade 6, 7, and 8 youngsters from Ottawa and their director who, instead of having them stand there lumpishly singing in unison, gave them some most interesting harmonies. And it's a lovely little melody. I've never heard it recorded before or since. Alan, I think this brought moistness even to your eyes when I used to play it around Christmas time. It's called Goodnight Little Jesus. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Unfortunately, it's the bad audience. It's the noisy audience dropping galoshes and cracking nuts and things in the front row. There is a bit of that in the background.
But I see.
Plucky little children just push right on.
Brave little devil.
To the very end. Mm-hmm. So, although I played it last week,
yes,
here it is again, my favorite Christmas melody, Good Night, Little Jesus. I'd love to hear that done under antiseptic studio conditions. It's really unfair to the youngsters, that noisy, noisy audience.
There you go, criticizing.
The children that are singing are gay.
I was speaking, Max.
How would you like to hear one of Ivan Rebrov's most disgusting things? Now, this is just morbid curiosity. I'm tossing this out to see how it goes over with an audience. Because I say, and have said over and over again, that his greatest fault is this terrible, ostentatious, theatrical way of shooting from a growl. It's not a human note. He wants to show how low he can sing, and he goes down to this...
I couldn't agree more. I thought his greatest fault was singing. Anyway, go on.
Well, here is the classic example of this fault in Ivan Rebrov. Mm-hmm. Little Regensburger cathedral nuthatches, or extramarital larks, or whatever they're called, sing on beautifully, and Ivan just gets giddy. That's the only way to describe him. He goes away up into his countertenor range, and then he comes down into this... You used to get logged as an announcer. I remember you opening the mics and making this sound in the middle of the Ma Perkins show. It was just a...
Interpretations, yeah.
So in the morbid category, we'll get this little short one on. Listen to this. It's called Still, Still, Still. there's no excuse for a note like that. You've got Eno's fruit salts, Pepto-Bismol, bicarbonate of soda, and they all work.
Well, I think what happened was he's probably been working a lot lately, and I think he just drifted off to sleep. That was a snore.
It sounded like a snore. Yeah?
Why did you play it then, Mr. Terrible?
Because I'll tell you why I played it. I'm sure there are people across the country who've heard me playing Ivan Rebrov, and
sure
think I'm being unfair to him when I voice his objection to that kind of theatrical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted you to hear the worst of it. He's got a great voice. I'll give him his due when he sings straight.
Yeah.
We're going to move on in our music for Christmas Day. Oh, we've got him coming up, I guess, have we?
Oh, Ivan again?
The Three Kings, yeah. Oh. We'll go back. That wasn't perhaps too fair to put on that bad example, because, as I say, he can sing quite pleasantly. And here he is with the youngsters to sing Die Drei Könige. You know that one. Die Drei Könige.
No, I don't know that one. Dry Rawhide, maybe? Drei Könige? No, I don't know Könige. I can't think of Könige.
The non-drinking kings would be the Dry. You know, it's the Three Kings.
Yeah.
It's your Three Kings.
Eins, zwei, drei.
Drei Könige wandern aus Morgenland. Ein Sternlein führt sie zum Jordanstrand. In Joda fragen und forschen die drei, wo der neugeborene König sei. Sie wollen Weihrauch, Myrren und Gold dem Kinde spenden zum Opfer sollt. Und heller glänzet des Sternes Schein, zum Stalle gehen die Könige ein. Das Knäblein schauen sie wonniglich an. Treulich schritt, die Könige wandern, o wandre mit, den Stern der Liebe, der Gnade, Stern erhelle dein Ziel, so du suchst den Herrn und vielen Weihrauch. Myrrhen und Gold schenke dein Herz dem Knäblein hold. Schenk ihm dein Herz.
There now. Ivan can sing quite nicely when he wants to. That was his rendition with these cathedral sparrows of Die Drei Könige, the Three Kings. Alan, if I were to ask you to cast your eye over the millions of titles of Christmas music, with each year bringing new entrants into the field, what would be your choice of the most definitive piece of Christmas music? The one melody that brings back that wonderment of childhood.
Well, I'm afraid I've already said it, Adeste Fidelis.
Oh, is that?
Oh, yeah.
That's it for you.
Oh, sure, you bet it is.
Oh, isn't that strange?
Reminds me of my miserable childhood. That reminds me of my childhood and growing up with that. You bet it does. And it says the whole thing, too. Worship and that sort of thing. You know, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. That is my favorite. Have you a favorite?
Well, yes. It's one of the oldest of them all.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Pretty close. But it's the one that just takes me back to the crawling down the middle of the night, feeling the little stockings, and they're still empty, going to sleep again, and then all the excitement. And yet it's not a secular piece of music, but it brings back...
What's all the excitement? You mean the morning and still finding them empty?
Still finding them empty.
I see.
Yeah. Holy Night.
Oh, Santa well, yes. Nice. Oh, yeah, that is a glorious thing.
And here is boy soprano Gerard Barbeau to sing it. Boy soprano Gerard Barbeau and Holy Night, Santa Nuit. Alan, I'm going to do something now that I think you'll agree with because we share the same producer. The producer of your Eclectic Circus, John Dalton, also produces this Sunday morning
program. We're fortunate in that, yes.
And I happen to know one of Santa's little elves told me that John Dalton's favorite Christmas carol is the Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. He's a drummer himself, John. And I think it would be nice to show our mutual thank you for the service that he has given both of us in our CBC endeavors.
I think that's a wonderful idea. And also as a showing of our esteem for John.
Yes.
And how damn good he is at his job.
Well, I wouldn't get quite very foul mouth on a Christmas morning, but he is a very competent and agreeable person with whom to work.
Very creative, too.
Yes. Had a root canal job done. About.
Yeah, he
here,
up
then,
with us too.
Is John Dalton's favorite. This won't mean anything except down in Newfoundland, where John's from. So all you people down in Newfoundland, here is John Dalton, your native son's favorite Christmas carol, and it's sung by these splendid youngsters from the Mennonite Sunday schools of Winnipeg, the Mennonite Children's Choir, and they sing The Little Drummer Boy.
Oh.
The Little Drummer Boy, and that was performed by the Mennonite Children's Choir of Winnipeg, and that's, we send that out, dedicated to John Dalton, and if he looks under the concrete of his basement, he'll find a surprise on his birthday.
Concrete of his, what?
I don't know, when you make a dedication, it always takes me back to Uncle Neil. I remember sending out those, telling children, where here's a special song for you, and there's a surprise if you...
Oh, I've never even heard Tear of off Uncle the roof Neil. Of... Who's Uncle Neil?
Uncle Neil, that's your vintage. In the 30s, he did a children's program, and he's supposed to have said, I hope that'll satisfy the little... Well, he's much
that
looking.
Was the one.
Well, it's been ascribed to everybody. I even heard that you said that once.
No, I didn't.
Well, he
Uncle
said worse.
Uncle Neil, for heaven's sake.
We're going to go
How
back...
How would I know about Uncle Neil, for heaven's sake? You've already gone back, Uncle Neil.
No, we're going to go back to this... group of youngsters from the Ottawa Public Schools. I think they sing so well, and they are taught such interesting harmonies by their director. I think it was Arnold Earle directed the choir in this particular year when this recording was made. We're going to play them because they sing what I think is perhaps the only indigenous Canadian carol that we have. Does anything come to mind when you think of Canadian, indigenous Canadian Christmas music?
No.
Well, this is supposed to have been taught to the Huron Indians by the three Jesuit
I do recall that. It was Huron Indians. I can't think of the title of it. The life of me. Oh, come all ye faithful. No. Came upon a midnight clear. No.
Brebeuf, Lalemant, and I think it was Ignace, the third of them, they taught this in the Huron language. I saw Mama Kiss... You know what it is, Alan.
I do not.
'Twas in the moon of wintertime.
Thank you.
Those were the children of Ottawa Public Schools, grades 6, 7, and 8. And the director was Arnold Earle. And they sang. Do you know that the title has slipped my mind?
They sang beautifully, Max.
That was it, beautifully.
You couldn't improve on it.
Which is one of the nicest carols, beautifully.
Yes,
it's not played that often.
It's a beautiful thing. Just let it go. This is the season.
Right.
All right.
People are forgiving. Lapses.
They don't have to forgive. There is nothing to forgive, Max. For heaven's sake, get on with the program.
You!
The whole thing falls in a... What?
In your eclectic appreciation of music, even more so
Max.
than my choice of music,
yes.
Alan, must have heard of this great group. We've fallen in love with them, the Cambridge Busters.
Ah, wonderful.
Two English lads, Cambridge University students.
Sure.
And here they are to play In Dulce Jubilo. May your Christmas day be as bright as that music we just heard by the Cambridge Buskers. There's just time to thank you for dropping in on this day, and we hope that we provided some pleasant background music to accompany the shrieks of childish laughter and the tearing of tissue paper. I hope you've enjoyed it, Alan.
I've enjoyed it tremendously, Max, and I can only say that we'll be back for Christmas 1984, same time, same station. Would you agree with that?
I think that's very nicely put, and we'll certainly do our best to
fulfill
that death wish, promise. Thank you all. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, a pleasure, Max, a pleasure. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you all. God bless
is CBC Stereo. Merry Christmas. I'm Leon Cole. Welcome to a full afternoon of holiday programming. In just a few minutes, Handel's Messiah. Then Maureen Forrester at Roy Thompson Hall and Otto Lowy's Christmas Transcontinental. The holiday continues tomorrow with lots of good music on the Boxing Day edition of Soundtrack. Join me for 2 hours of festive and enjoyable listening tomorrow afternoon. The news is next, plus national weather.
This is CBC Stereo, Toronto 94.1, Peterborough 103.9.
The Lebanese army takes offensive against the Shiite militia. I'm Art Cuthbert with the CBC News. The Lebanese army is claiming success in mopping up pockets of Shiite militiamen in Beirut. The battle, one of the fiercest this year, started in a southern suburb and quickly spread to other parts of the city. Heavy weapons, including rockets and missiles, were used, and about 100 people were reported killed. The multinational force escaped the worst of the action, but two members of the Italian contingent were wounded, and small arms fire struck the U.S. Marine position, but didn't cause any casualties. The French Minister of Defense returned to Paris today after visiting the French contingent to the multinational forces. The British Defense Minister left Beirut yesterday for London. The Pope celebrated a Christmas Mass in St. Peter's Basilica today before delivering his Christmas message to the world. There were 15,000 worshipers attending the Mass, which was broadcast in seven languages. In his Christmas message, the Pope criticized the worldwide spending on weapons and called for dialogue to find honorable solutions to international differences. He stressed the urgent need to find a way to dispel the warlike clouds that are threatening humanity. The Archbishop of Canterbury says the Christian community in China is recovering from the persecution of the so-called Cultural Revolution. Robert Runcie, who returned last week from a tour of China, said the darkness of the Cultural Revolution had not succeeded in snuffing out the Christian Chinese church. Instead, said Dr. Runcie, it had fueled the light, which now shines with a new brilliance. In Beijing, midnight masses were held in several churches, and the turnout was bigger than expected. Jean-François Lapine sends this report.
Catholics in China, their churches still perform masses according to the old Roman Catholic ritual, the priests turning their back to the attendants. The Chinese National Catholic Church separated from Rome in 1958 at the request of the government in Peking. Catholic worshippers in China fear this year's Christmas celebration could be canceled because of a national campaign against foreign so-called spiritual pollution. But finally, municipal religious authorities soon gave public guarantees the celebration would take place, and crowds attending the evening masses were larger than even before. Jean-François Lépin, CBC News, Peking.
The Harrods department store bombing in London has now killed six people. The latest victim, a 34-year-old police officer, died in hospital last night. Meanwhile, next to Harrods, police have parked a car identical to the one used by the bombers. Commander William Hucklesby explains why.
We now know that the man who bought the car used the name Mr. Black. So far, we've been unable to trace Mr. Black. He may have used that name, though, when he was driving in the car. And shopping or buying other things. And somebody may relate Black to the vehicle, which we see here now, and then give us a positive lead in relation to Black's association with the vehicle.
Commander William Hucklesby of Scotland Yard. A Red Cross plane will leave Geneva the day after tomorrow with a team of relief experts and emergency supplies for the earthquake victims in Guinea, West Africa. The powerful quake on Thursday destroyed 16 villages and killed at least 300 people. Reports from the stricken area say the survivors are in a state of panic. Tehran Radio reports that 16 people were executed at dawn today after being convicted of trafficking in drugs. The 16 who were executed in a town in central Iran were said to have been setting up an international ring to supply and distribute narcotics, particularly heroin. However, the Tehran broadcast did not give details. Repeating our top story, the Lebanese army is claiming success in mopping up pockets of Shiite militiamen in Beirut. The battle, one of the fiercest this year, has claimed about 100 lives. And that's the CBC News. This is CBC Radio. The Canadian weather forecasts for Whitehorse and Yellowknife, partly sunny, minus 29 at Whitehorse, minus 30 at Yellowknife. For Victoria and Vancouver, light snow and sleet, 0 in Victoria, minus 1 in Vancouver. For Grand Prairie and Prince George, a mixture of sunshine and cloud, minus 22 at Grand Prairie, minus 17 at Prince George. For Kelowna, light snow or sleet, minus 3. Across most of the prairies and into Ontario, a mixture of sunshine and cloud. The temperature at Jasper, minus 17, Banff, minus 18, Edson, minus 20, Edmonton, minus 18, Red Deer, minus 16, Stettler, minus 17, Drumheller, minus 16, Calgary, minus 15, Brooks, minus 17, Lethbridge, minus 14, Medicine Hat, minus 15, Regina, minus 16, Saskatoon, minus 18, Winnipeg, minus 15, Thunder Bay, minus 20, Sault Ste. Marie, minus 16, Sudbury, the same, minus 18 at Timmins, minus 14 at Windsor and Sarnia, minus 15 at London, Wintstock, and Kitchener. For Kitchener, variable cloudiness. For Hamilton and St. Catharines, flurries possible, minus 15 at Hamilton, minus 14 at St. Catharines. For Toronto, Peterborough and Cobourg, sun and clouds around minus 15. And that's the weather. This is CBC Stereo, Toronto 94.1, Peterborough 103.9.